You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Castrovince, and I am joined by Jordan Bastian. We are here in the bowels of Progressive Field. You and I just walked out of the Mark Shapiro press conference. Obviously, that's the huge news. We had talked about this a bit last week, the possibility of him leaving for the presidency in Toronto. Not exactly a lateral move when you consider the resources. And you, of course, covered the Blue Jays. You know as well as anybody. This is not just a Toronto market, a Canadian market, a huge opportunity for Mark, but obviously a huge loss for the Indians.
I think it's, you know, as Mark just said, kind of he's ascended the ladder here and didn't really have anywhere else to go upward. So he was looking for a new, unique challenge. And obviously the Blue Jays, one of the hottest teams in baseball right now, present that challenge. And it's an interesting move because it's not just like going to another American city. You're going to a different country, and he's got a family with kids of school age. And, you know, it's obviously a very unique set of circumstances, and it seems like from knowing Mark, and you can attest to this too, that he's always looking for that next challenge and that next thing to embrace. And I think the one thing he said, which feels very important from the Indians' perspective, is the fact that, you know, he's confident and comfortable with the leadership structure that they have in place, you know, with Chris Antonetti, guys like Mike Chernoff and Derek Falvey, the assistant GMs, and guys on the player development side, that, you know, he's stepping away here, and it's not like there's a huge hole in the front office structure that's leaving that structure with potential collapse. So
yeah, and what's interesting also is, I mean, Terry Francona was very out in front of this a few days ago, where he said we all know he's got this opt-out clause. We've known that from the day he was hired. He had his opt-out clause tied to Shapiro and Antonetti, and he could exercise that at this point, even though he's under contract through 2018, I believe.
Yeah, with two team options.
With two team options beyond that. But he was very out front that the relationship he has with Chris has grown to be equally strong, and basically he's not using that as leverage.
Right, and I think one thing from talking to Dolan, because we asked him, you know, would he be looking for even internally for a new team president? And he said one of the reasons, you know, he's not is he doesn't feel like Antonetti will have kind of that hole of that voice, you know, which he had in Mark, you know, because he's relied so heavily on Francona since he's been here as sort of that other baseball mind to lean on and rely on. So, you know, Dolan said if Chris does feel like something is missing, they could look to get like a special advisor to the general manager, but, you know, specifically filling that team president role, you know, they don't feel the need to do that right now. They can divvy up the duties from other people within the front office, and then Antonetti can kind of proceed as he has been with relying on Francona, bouncing ideas off him, you know, when it comes to player moves and decisions and things like that. So, again, I think this is a situation where Shapiro leaving doesn't create the kind of hole it would have maybe even a few years ago.
Also notable in all this, this has been one of the more stable executive groups in professional sports, really. It's not, you know, Shapiro has been here 24 years. Antonetti, I don't know when I believe he came out in 1999, I want to say. So you're breaking up that group, but the Dolan ownership has definitely prioritized stability, and they've also prioritized, you know, letting people pursue whatever opportunities come their way. So here was a situation where the Blue Jays approach about Shapiro, we saw last year when they were interested in Dan Duquette for this role, the compensation issue became a big deal. Here, the Indians let this guy, who's really the face of the organization from a business perspective, let him go with no compensation. I thought that was a high character move, but certainly an interesting one.
Yeah, and that probably meant a lot to the Blue Jays, I'm sure, because there wasn't running interference there. And you know, when we asked about the compensation, it's like Dolan seemed surprised.
Right.
Like it hadn't even occurred to him. I don't think he even knew right away what we were talking about. But so that was interesting. I think that does show kind of his character there. And, you know, I mean, Shapiro was pretty upfront that while the payroll, you know, did not play a role or a major role in this decision to go to Toronto, where he, you know, undoubtedly will have more resources, he did acknowledge that the biggest challenge he's faced here is the Major League Baseball structure and kind of the restraints that the Indians have been forced to work under, just given the market size, given the payroll, all that. So I thought it was important for him to acknowledge that, you know, that has been a challenge here, but he was quick to say, you know, that wasn't the motivator for him to go to Toronto.
Yeah, and all I know is, from my perspective, I've been working on Mark Shapiro to get Bruce Springsteen to play at Progressive Field from even before he took over the presidency, and he just assured me that he's going to get him to play the Rogers Center. So how about that?
All right, well, it looks like you got a trip to Toronto in your future.
I know you're not excited about that because you have no music taste.
Will Eddie Vedder be there?
Could be. Maybe a double bill. Let's talk about the team on the field. Because we are getting into September, and they are still mathematically alive.
They have a pulse.
They have a pulse. Now, as we record this on Monday, the last day of August, they are, there's actually three teams between them and the Wild Card. That seems to me to be the fundamental.
Like, it was six teams.
Well, it was six. They cut it in half. Well, it was six, but now it's three, so they cut that in half. But it's still, you're asking a lot of things to happen that are out of your control. But what do you take as far as the likelihood of this team being in that wild card mix at the end of the season?
Well, at Castrovince, as I have said to every Twitter person who has tweeted at me asking about the playoff race, I have always responded with, let's let them get to 500.
Exactly.
Then let's start looking at it.
Yeah. They're Call now, me when you're at 500.
Right.
And we'll
they're
talk.
Three games below 500 as we speak today, and they're heading to Toronto, which is no cakewalk. And they're going on another long road trip, going to Detroit, which is behind them now, but Detroit always gives them trouble. And, you know, obviously they have some other tough games coming up, too. So let's wait. Let's see if they get to 500. And then, as Michael Brantley said the other day, you know, as you get a little bit later here, then you can start peeking at the standings and seeing. I think it's too early to really start focusing too much on this wild card race. It is exciting from the fans' perspective that this team suddenly is playing with the type of energy and skill that we thought would be there from the beginning. And maybe it's a little telling that some of these trades, some of the guys they showed the door in that clubhouse, that the team has really picked up since then. And maybe it gives you a little optimism going into the offseason that not that you can return with this team, but that you have this team in place, and if you supplement through trades or whatever, that you can be confident that maybe you can be better next year from the beginning. So I think it's still a little too early to get caught up in the wild card race, but it is fun to at least have that to talk about a little bit right now.
Absolutely. Well, and you mentioned the energy, and to me, Francisco Lindor is that energy. I think he's totally changed the dynamic of this club, not just the way he performs, but just the energy he brings, the attitude he brings. Hard to imagine a rookie who's only been up since June 14th or whatever it was having this amount of impact.
Yeah, and he's had this amount of impact while making some rookie mistakes here and there that they've tried to clean up. So I think that's impressive, too, that he's been so good around those, I think, youthful mistakes that we all kind of expected. That he's making this incredible impact. And then it goes back to how many podcastros did we do weeks and weeks ago earlier on this season, you know, thinking he should have been called up a little earlier. And I still kind of think along those lines that...
Amen, brother.
Even if you're talking about a 1-2-3-game difference, you know, that could have been a big difference at this point, given that we're talking about a 5-game deficit in the wild card race. So... it's pretty interesting. I think he's already in the American League Rookie of the Year discussion, which is pretty impressive given how short he's been up here. But defensively, he's been stellar, and that bat, it just seems like he gets better as the season goes along, which is rare to see from such a young player.
Yeah, him and Carlos Correa are probably the two best shortstop in the American League, and they both came up first or second week of June, so crazy. What else has stood out to you about the way this team's played the last few weeks?
I think, again, the starting pitching remains solid. And I think what stands out, again, is as we're sort of evaluating this team and looking ahead, is just, again, that you'd hope fans would be optimistic that when you have that front three guys in the lineup of Kipnis, Lindor, and Brantley, and the four guys in the rotation, the four main guys, Kluber, Carrasco, Salazar, and Bauer, I mean, there's a lot of optimism to be had looking ahead to the next year or the next couple years. And just because this year it might be a disappointment, you know, maybe doesn't end where you want, you know, you can see that this is a team that is in a position that a lot of other teams would love to be in with that type of young core. And I know we sound like, you know, a couple homers sitting here saying that, but it's reality. I think that's it's been fun to watch kind of that group continue to excel and, you know, see Yan Gomes coming around a little bit given what he's been through this year. I think that's been fun to watch.
All right, more to come. Indians obviously still mathematically alive, got something to play for going into September, which is better than nothing. Want to thank Jordan Basham for talking about all that going on and off the field with the Indians. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.